Well, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, these words bring to an end a long sentence that started in verse 3 and ends in verse 9. And this long sentence, you could say, covers the journey of our lives and even touches upon what is before and after our lives too. We have there mention of election and of glory in heaven, but also all those parts of our experiences and the journey of life are covered in this long sentence. It is the last part of this long sentence I want to bring your attention to, the end of faith, the salvation of our souls, and ask the question, where are you heading? How will it all end? Now, we know the end of the Christian. That's what the verse says. The end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What a lovely term. The salvation of your souls. Very simple term, but the simplicity is beautiful. And it is glad news to those who are saved. It rings of everlasting glory and salvation. The salvation of your souls, the center of your being, has been secured, your soul. Indeed, this word soul is very important and should make us think. For you carry a precious commodity within your body, which is your soul. I have a Bible in my study in the church back home, a Welsh Bible. It's often referred to as the Peter Williams Bible because he produced it. And at the beginning of this large Bible, this family Bible, he has a letter, a foreword, right at the beginning. And he addresses the reader, and it's in Welsh. And it says in Welsh, Gwerthawr enaid, which means precious soul. Imagine having a letter addressed to you in that way, precious soul. Well, that's the way the Bible of Peter Williams does. Precious soul. And of course, the soul is so precious. It is immortal. There never will be a time when you are not. You shall always be. You could pick some figure, 10,000 years, although figures really are meaningless, really, in eternity. But it helps us understand, in 10,000 years' time, you shall be. Your immortal soul will be this part of you, which is quite remarkable, quite different from the animal kingdom. You have a soul, an immortal soul. And so the question is very important. How will it all end? Where are you heading? John Flavel once said, eternity itself hangs upon this little moment of time. And so it is in this span of life we have. It is so important that something happens, that we are saved. I mentioned precious soul. I could say precious life or precious journey. What about your life? Do you think about where you're heading and what's happening within your heart? Has there been this experience and this event? Sometimes it is one meeting. Other times it is a period, and somewhere in that season you are saved. But verse 9 says it, faith. Faith takes place. You believe in Jesus Christ and everything changes. And the course of your life changes. You could put it like this. The course of your life, your coordinates were going in this way and the gospel intersected you and cut across your path and changed your course. And so now, by the grace of God, through this intervention, your story is this, if you're a Christian. The end of my faith is the salvation of my soul, your immortal soul. But of course, men don't think of their souls. And I want to consider this evening the various courses people take. I want to look at many permutations, many examples. And in some ways, all these examples are relevant to us all. Although maybe one might be your case, but really in our hearts, we are all these examples in some measure or other. But starting with the very first, the course of life for many people is like going through the motions. Not in a mundane way, but just doing what all people do. They are born, they are a child and a youth. They follow some work and career, and possibly they get married, have children and grandchildren. And then comes, you might hope, as long as nothing gets in the way, a more leisurely time. You put your feet up and enjoy retirement. And you might hope, look back upon life with a sense of pleasure and enjoyment and reflection. Now, of course, there's a lot missing in that description. Many sad things happen. Many difficult things happen. We know that. It's a very difficult world. But that very often is the hope of many. Just that kind of life. Everything going well and looking back with some pleasure. But of course, there's one big thing missing. The soul. The soul is forgotten. Totally forgotten in that. All this going through the motions, stage by stage. And we see it, don't we? Everywhere. This treadmill, this constant direction, one stage of life to another. But ask the question, where is it all heading? How will it end for you? If that is you, where are you heading? What are your coordinates? Do you think about that? Where am I heading? And how will it end for me and my soul? Think of your soul. Think of an immortal soul. You know, this world tries to stop this thinking. No man, for all his intelligence, doesn't think. He's driven by his desires and doesn't think. He says he thinks, and of course you have great intelligentsia, but they don't think. All these intelligent people, what dictates their life is other things, not their thinking. Their lust and their desires, and we mention that in a moment. But do you think about your soul? What about my soul? Yes, your soul. Have you ever thought about your soul and how it will end? Your precious soul. Werthfawr enaid in Welsh. Precious soul. Now the course of many other people is similar but different. Going from moment to moment with little thought what lies ahead. Just responding to what life brings. Maybe there's a sense of mundaneness here, or just lurching from crisis to crisis, going from one thing to another. Perhaps it's because you are not a very organized person, or maybe your life is very busy and you go from one thing to the next, from crisis to crisis. There's no time to think about your soul. If somebody asks you to come to a church meeting, I know you're here tonight, obviously, but this might be the case on other occasions. People ask you to come to a church meeting, you're so busy. Sorry, I can't make it. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And there's no direction to your life, no thought of your soul. Of course, in other countries and in less affluent times, it can be simply a matter of survival. You know, we're fairly affluent in this part of the world at the moment. But these parts have known poorer times, and other parts of the world are poor, of course, and struggle to make a living. They live off the crust of the land, you could say, and struggle. And they work hard and still struggle to make it. And life is difficult. And it might be so for you too. And they work and they struggle to survive in their body, but they don't struggle for their souls. And what a wrong emphasis. Now, it's understandable, this struggle for life, but
all this effort for the body and forgetting the most important thing, it cannot be right. You're not the first person to struggle to make ends meet and to struggle in life. Many people have struggled and still found God and to put Him first. You know, it's a matter of priorities, isn't it? Your body, your soul. You're probably prioritizing your life. Well, prioritizing these things, my dear friend. That you have a precious, precious soul and to look after it. Your body will last for so long, but your soul, oh, is so important that your soul has been saved. And of course, other people struggle through sickness and infirmity and struggle to make it through the day. And we see such people, don't we? And we see them and our hearts go out to them and wonder how they cope. Many difficult cases. And we just see them for a moment and our hearts go out to them, but they have to struggle every day of their lives with their infirmity or whatever it might be. But again, I would say, how sad to struggle through life and not consider the end of life. And you see, in the time of Christ, you have a role model there, an example. There were many people in the time of Christ who not only had infirmities and struggles, but they were destitute. And because maybe of their physical handicaps, they were left by the side of the road to perish. But these very people called upon Christ. They found time. You know, this argument, oh, I haven't got time and I'm just struggling. Of course you've got time. Everybody has time. And we should have time for our souls. This most important thing. We mustn't neglect it. And then the cause for many people, that they live their life dictated by other things and other people. The busyness of family life. The many duties of life. The demands of their friends. And so they go from pillar to post. And they may be busy with their children. And you see them and they're always rushing and always busy. But the Bible does warn against this kind of busyness. You might say, surely the Bible has sympathy for a hard-working person like myself, serving so many people, rushing here and you're rushing there. Well, the Bible warns against the thorns of life that choke your soul. And the classic example, of course, is Martha, Mary and Martha. And Martha was wonderfully busy and attentive, but she was not commended because she forgot the good part, the better part. And our Savior says very clearly there, it might be very commendable and very worthwhile, but if you neglect your soul, you have been negligent. Your soul, your precious, precious soul. Or maybe you are the kind of person that can be driven by your own standards and expectations. And there you have these standards, these goals you aim at, and this is the dominant thing in your life. And you're aiming for these standards, always driving, always pushing for these standards. Or maybe the expectations of others and what others think. And so we cannot let go of it. We must do this and do that in order to satisfy the expectations of others. And we forget the expectations of the Lord. See how small-minded it is, how short-sighted it is. See the expectations of the Lord. My dear friend, you have a soul. Man was made in the image of God. Yes, he's fallen. But this soul is quite remarkable. And this soul is in trouble. And this soul is stained and corrupted and needs to be saved. And you have this soul that's in desperate trouble and needs to be washed in the blood of Christ and dressed in righteousness. And needs Jesus Christ to save you. And here you are neglecting your soul. And all the time your soul is crying for help, so to speak. And you're ignoring it, so to speak. Let me throw in another thought here. And so many permutations in life, aren't there? How a person can be dominated by another person. A domineering husband, maybe, or a domineering wife. And this person dictates what you do and what you think, or maybe a friend who's a powerful personality. And there are these people who dominate not for good, but for evil sometimes, or just for worldly ends. Or maybe the kind of person who wants to please those people or please society, and you're living a life to please society, to just be accepted, to be respected. And this is the great aim of your life, to be respected. Not to be made fun of or to be laughed at, but to be respected and accepted. And this is a great aim, my dear friend. What a poor aim that is. You made those people your God. You want the favor of those people, or one person maybe. And you've forgotten the authority of Almighty God. Who are these people? What are they? Just human flesh. How big are they? 5 foot 5, 6 foot 5. Whatever they are. And these people dominate your life. An Almighty God. We should fear God. He who is God above. And here we are, as it says in this chapter, that we need to be holy. Be holy, for I am holy. And our souls are not holy. Are we neglecting this terrible need in our hearts to be right with God, who is over all and above all? Oh, how foolish we are. What fools we are. Also, the course of many people can be described as being driven by the lust of life. And men and women, especially in these parts of the world these days, are taken up with bodily pleasures. They live immoral lives. Oh, what a horrible pit and miry clay it all is. What a mess it is, isn't it? The moral mess of man. And you find some people are just in the grip of it all. They're driven by it. They've lost control of their bodies and their souls as well, you could say. They live from Friday to Friday, party to party. You know what it's like if you're in the workplace, and there on Friday, the great anticipation of the weekend, and how they talk in the workplace of what they're going to do, all the excess. And then on Monday, they reflect back upon it, and all that excessive behavior, and how they revel in it and rejoice in it. Now, even in this life, you might ask the question, how will it end? Many of these people will reap the rewards of that kind of life. And we know, don't we, in the papers, how the so-called celebrities very often die young because of the way they have disrespected their bodies and so on. And there is a price to pay for that kind of living eventually. And that is true in this life. But of course, this verse talks about an end, which means consummation and fulfillment. And there is a consummation and fulfillment of that kind of worldly living. It's not just in this life, but it ends, of course, before a holy God and a pure God. And there we have wallowed in the mud, so to speak, and we come before a holy God. What a terrible moment. Let me speak of another kind of lust. Many people are driven by the lust of life, as in the ambitions and the desires of life. And these are not so much the lust of the body, but the lust of the mind and the pride of life. And maybe this is more dominant because the lust of youth lasts so long. Maybe they progress beyond the limits with some, but really this is what takes over very early on in the workplace. The ambition, the drive, and how upbeat it all is, and how wonderful it is, and a sense of excitement. And you see them, don't you? They're animated. Whatever career they have, it is life, and they drink, eat, and live it, don't they? And sleep it. And how taken up they are with it all. And what is it? What is it? It is their God. And of course, along with that comes this pleasure seeking very often, not just the power, You know that when you start in the workplace, your eyes are open to the world of power and that ability to have power in the workplace and power over men and women. But often, along with that goes pleasure-seeking, holidays and boats and caravans. Now, nothing wrong with holidays and boats and caravans per se, but when they fill your life and fill your mind and you go from one holiday and one boat and one caravan to another and what have you, then indeed you are in danger of losing your bearings. The Bible says it is all vanity. And these things, and what a tragedy it is when you think, what is your life? Holidays and boats and caravans, power. What about your soul? What madness it is, what foolishness it is, what a great omission. And all this planning and all this organization, maybe you're an organized person, but what a great omission to forget your immortal soul, your soul. Just consider for a moment that you have a soul. You know, the psalmist very often talks to himself and addresses the soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When you speak to your soul and say to your soul, seek the Lord, soul, seek the Lord. That your soul might be awakened and might look for salvation in Jesus Christ. But let me give you another example. Many people have a higher ambition, you could say. They want to make a difference in life. And so they are moved to help others. On one level, you would commend them and even thank God for them. Because this is a very difficult world. And there are lots of needy people. And in some ways, we could say they represent the common grace of God and how they help others and have a compassionate heart. And assuming for a moment they do it not for some self-gain, but they do it from a genuine heart, it is still so short of what's important. I know it sounds hard to criticize such people, but you know, even from the point of view of what they do, they tend to men and their needs, but only the body, and forget the most important part of man. They just are kind, I grant you, but there they are, helping the body, but ignoring the soul and forgetting the soul, and particularly regarding their own souls. And there they are, helping other people. Good though it is, it's not good enough. And they forget their own souls. And even in some cases, if they attend church, they might well have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's not true religion. It's not a true gospel. So often in churches, people are taken up with the music these days, or taken up with order and decorum. And the church represents the kind of thing they believe in, order and decorum. Even theology can be a diversion. Emotion, of course, very often. Social aspect of the church, a sense of helping people, interested in people and being involved with people, activity, even service. All these things can be, and the soul can be unsaved. And here's a question this evening. Has this been sorted? Has your soul been saved? Is it all external? Is it all on the outside, and the center of it is still there under the judgment of God and the condemnation of God? You know, very often sometimes people, in order to take away attention from something, they make a fuss of something else. And that could be your case too. A fuss of everything and anything but your soul. And your soul needs great attention. Let me ask the question, where is it all heading? What will be the end of it all? Oh, it is so serious. It is so serious for your case, because you have one soul, a precious life, a precious soul. My dear friend, look after it. Make sure you are saved, because if not, the conclusion, the consummation of all this living and this direction, these bearings which you are on, these coordinates which you are on, will be destruction. Or in the language of John Bunyan, the city of destruction. And that's where all men are heading, the city of destruction. If you think of your soul in this term here, the salvation of your souls, what is it then? The destruction of your soul. Just think about that. The everlasting, eternal destruction of your soul. Oh, just a continuing dying. A continuing falling apart. The opposite of what the Christian will have in Jesus Christ. Not because the Christian is worthy in himself, but because of Christ. What Christ can do for your soul. But without Christ, the destruction of your soul. Just think of you. What is your soul but you? The destruction of your soul, the breaking down of your soul, but never ending. Just think of that. How terrible and awful it is. And how you need the gospel to cut across your path. Your direction this evening, your heading, your bearing, is the destruction of your soul and the city of destruction. You need the gospel to cut across your path. You need the mercy of God to save you. Just think of this as some kind of diagram, the course of the world. What Christ did was this. He cut across the path of this world and the course of this world when he came into this world. Oh, what a blessed intervention this was. Jesus Christ, the Father, sent the Son. What a mercy this is. How hopeless are the other religions and philosophies. But here is great salvation. So relevant to the need of the hearts of men and women. We are sinners. Here comes the Savior of sinners. All the other religions and philosophies, they don't deal with our need, do they? They just play with us. But here is a religion, a true religion, which deals with our need. And Christ came into this world to be the Savior of sinners. See what he did. See the wonderful promises and the prophecies of the Old Testament. He will come. Christ says himself, even in the words of Psalm 40, "Lo, I come. Lo, I come." Oh, what wonderful words. And then he came, and he was born, and he lived a life of perfect obedience, obeying the commandments. As people watched him, being full of truth and grace, perhaps little understanding that all this was for men and women. He was a wonderful person, but not understanding he was laying down the righteousness we need. And then on the cross, they saw him dying, not understanding he was dying for men and women, receiving their sins. And so indeed, when applied to the sinner, this living and this dying is salvation. My dear friend, do you understand the gospel? You know, you can understand it here, but it needs to drop down to the soul. The understanding of the soul. The dawning of the soul. Yes, I see it. The soul has an intelligence of its own, an understanding much more profound than the thinking even you could say. And so the soul understands who Jesus Christ is and sees he is the one who can wash me and dress me. His dying on the cross can wash away my sins. Yes, all my sins. What a hope for sinners. What a glory. What a wonder. For men born as sinners and continue in their sin to their dying day. And then we'll face God in judgment. What a great thing this is to have our sins washed away. Do you want that? Well, of course you do. Oh, what a wonderful thing to be clean in the sight of God through Jesus Christ. Who would believe it? But it is so. Because of who Christ is, the Savior of the world and the Savior of sinners. And he dresses us. We have no righteousness, no obedience. Everything that we needed, he provides. What are we? What's our problem? We are sinners and we have no righteousness. What does Christ do? He takes away our sin and gives us righteousness and dresses us for heaven. It is wonderful. And having done all to save our precious souls, he then sends preachers to preach the message. And these preachers are also cutting across your path and preaching the gospel. And this, of course, is a Sunday evening gospel service. That's what it is. And also other services. The gospel, the preacher, is coming across your path, but something must happen. You must believe. And in our verse here, we see it. Faith. Your faith. You must believe. Yes, it's God given, but God doesn't believe for you. You must believe. Then believe. Oh, that your soul might awaken and sense its need and see Christ as the Savior of sinners and believe. It's the most lovely, beautiful, wonderful thing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe, it all changes. The course of your life changes. You're never the same again. What follows, of course, is a mark of the genuine work of God. You now become a follower, a disciple of Christ, a life of service. You're not saved and carry on as you were. That's false conversion. But you're saved and you change direction. And you follow Christ. And you serve Him as your Lord and Master. A different language comes to you. A wonderful brokenness. Before you were full of self. But now you are full of Christ. And the self dies on Christ increases, and you are even conformed to the image of His Son, the image of Jesus Christ. Great miracles take place in your heart. You're saved, but because it's true salvation, many other wonderful things happen. That you're saved, you're washed in the blood of Christ, but also the life of Christ is in you. And the life which is in Him is in you. Praise be God. And what's the end of it all? Well, the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, or in the language of John Bunyan, the celestial city. But I love that expression there, the salvation of your souls. It is beautiful simplicity. My soul is saved. A few days before I was converted, a friend of mine asked me the question, are you saved? It was in Welsh. Wyti wedi dy achub. And I knew exactly what he meant. But I pretended in a foolish way not to understand. But 2 days later, I was saved. The salvation of your souls. And that beautiful morning when you wake up having believed in Christ. And like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, the sense of the burden being lifted. And why do you sense that? Because it has been lifted. Your sins have all been put on Christ. What a wonderful Savior He is. And just think of who He is, my dear friend. He is the second person of the Godhead. What a Savior we have. Our Savior comes out of the Godhead and the Trinity and has come into this world and taken to Himself our humanity and has saved us. We have a remarkable, wonderful Savior. A Savior to trust in and in whom you can trust your soul. And your soul and your precious soul will be blessed. Just think of it. How important this is. Just from this point of view. Your precious soul, your most precious commodity will be blessed. And blessed beyond measure and without measure in Jesus Christ. Oh, to know our God and our Maker. And indeed in Christ we do. Well, shall we pray?